From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Okay, what happens when boy meets girl's fiancé's brother? Well, award-winning screenwriter Sydney Carger, who is a former writer and director with Comedy Central, MTV, and AMC, as well as a contributing writer for Saturday Night Live, has just written his debut novel about just that, what it's like to be gay and looking for love. We are lucky enough to have Sydney joining us today to talk more about this. It's really good to have you on the program.
Great to be here.
Okay, so let's just start with a quick synopsis of the book, Sydney. Tell us a basic outline.
Yeah, so Best Men is a romantic comedy, and it's about a gay guy named Max Moody who's about to turn 35. He's sort of a hopeless romantic, but doesn't necessarily want to admit it. And his best friend from childhood announces one day that she's getting married and wants him to be her man of honor. So he kind of quietly spins out of control because he thought he'd be the one to get married before her in the friendship. And then he meets the best man of the groom-to-be, and his name is Chasen. And Max and Chasen are kind of polar opposites. Max is Midwestern, super introverted, doesn't like crowds, going out, where Chasen is like very New England-y, grew up, born and raised in Connecticut, more sort of urbane and outgoing and social. So they have to kind of like work together, and they barely tolerate each other at first, but then a romance may or may not spark and bloom from there.
So I have to say, I love Max. I mean, he is such a lovable character, but you have so many nuances going on with him. Because as you said, I mean, in the book, he does kind of spiral when Paige is like, I'm engaged, because I think, you know, Max kind of figured he is the more stable one. He'd, you know, get married first. But you layer in these other things about even, it's not, I felt like, not just about, oh my gosh, my best friend's getting married before me and all the things that come with that. But it's also this, his job, right? His career, and struggling, I think, with, is this really what he wants to do for the rest of his life? Like it was almost like, is this what I want my life to look like? And I think so many people kind of go through something like that at that time of their life. So, you know, why decide to put so many numerous layers in with Max, which, by the way, I think it works great.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, I love a romantic comedy. I kind of, you know, like a lot of people, grew up loving romantic comedy movies. And a lot of times you don't see what they're doing to like get by in life and have a job, and like, how are they paying for dinner? And it's, you know, a lot of like, just sort of about the romance. And so I was interested in writing, I didn't necessarily set out to write, you know, hey, this is a romantic comedy, but I kind of had the idea of the character and, you know, the germ of the overall idea. And I really wanted to explore every aspect of his life, with work and his living situation and his friendship with his best friend, and then layer in the romance as well. So I'm always interested in like how people are getting by, and then just the idea of like living in New York in your, you know, early 30s and trying to make it, and all those firsts that you're going through with every aspect of your life. So I love a good, well-rounded character in a romantic comedy.
Well, okay, can we talk about your writing for a minute? I was laughing out loud. Like your writing is fabulous. I mean, to the point where I'd be reading the book and I would stop and I would have to like, I would just like read a line to my husband, because just, seriously, like, I loved it so much. I mean, even in the very beginning of the book, you have a line and you're talking about, so Max, you know, Max and Paige, their thing is they love diners, right? Going to like, you know, these kind of greasy spoon diners. And just the one line, he goes, unlike me, mediocre diners give me life. I read that line and I'm like, I'm going to love this book. I'm going to love this book, because the writing, you're funny and you're witty. And it's, I mean, I would assume, because of what you do for a living as a screenwriter, having been, you know, having written for, you know, Comedy Central, for Saturday Night Live, but the writing is so good. It's
oh, thank you.
Really so good. So is that just part of, like, you know, I mean, when that writing process for you, because I mean, Were you trying to be that funny, or is it just kind of something that comes naturally?
Well, thank you for saying all that. That's like a huge, huge compliment. I kind of think it comes naturally in a way, and I really wanted to get inside the head of this character and kind of hear every thought, you know, he's having between getting into the elevator at work to the chocolate sundae they're eating at the diner. So I really, yeah, I don't think I necessarily try to be funny. I think it, even in social situations in real life, I'm kind of like looking for the humor and will sometimes be inappropriately funny at times. So yeah, I really, and I also love stories that have humor in it, no matter what it is, if it's, you know, super dramatic, if it can have that undertone of humor, and even the opposite, if it's funny, it needs to have drama for me. So I kind of love sort of undercutting whatever's going on with a little bit of humor.
And I, and what, you know, what I love too, was at the beginning of every chapter, you would have something maybe like, you know, text messages or favorite songs or something like that. And, you know, a start of a chapter, you say sentences Paige and I, meaning Max, have said that could also be the title of our memoir. And okay, the one that got me was, I don't really want to go to Brooklyn. Like, I just,
yeah.
it's like, it's little things like that. So your writing was so spot on. But with that said, I think one of the things you did also in the book was you really tackled gay stereotypes, right? And what I mean by that is, I think there sometimes is an assumption that, you know, gay men don't want to settle down, right? All Max wants to do is find the love of his life. Was that important to you to, you know, to say, look, I mean, let's break down what are truly some stereotypes?
Yeah, it was important. I had never really written, I think I wrote a screenplay in my 20s. The first screenplay I ever wrote was about coming out, and it was a coming out story. And I never really went back to kind of writing a gay story. And so for this, I really wanted to tap into something that was authentic and representative of what I knew and kind of coming of age as an adult in New York City. And I really had this idea of the gay characters in stories historically have been the wacky sidekick or the best friend who kind of comes in for comic relief, or you have stories that are super serious coming out stories or tortured, which are all great and important, but I wanted to do my own spin on the gay character. So he really starts out in my mind as like a sidekick character that you'd see in a rom-com or read in a romantic comedy. And then over the course of his journey, he becomes the main character in the story and in his life. So I really wanted to try and subvert what I've found to be some stereotypes, just kind of living in New York and people I know and people I'm friends with. And so you start off with a character who, yeah, he wants to settle down. Unlike when you're in your 20s and 30s living in the big city, it may not necessarily be a priority. And then you have the love interest who's kind of the opposite. And he may be what you think of, but you know, as a gay character, but then sort of as the story progresses, hopefully those stereotypes are subverted and you end up with two pretty dimensional characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I really appreciated too is, you're right, I mean, Max did kind of start out, you know, as that sidekick, but then you get to know him so well. I mean, to the point that it, you know, towards the end of the book, his mom is talking to him and, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but she basically says, like, you need to be the star of your own story. Like, you need to be the star of your own life, right? And and again, that goes back to, you know, you don't have to always be that quote gay best friend. You don't have to be the sidekick, and almost making him take responsibility for his own life.
Exactly. Yeah. And even just being, in my experience, I've had the sort of the gay best friend where it's almost, you know, not necessarily with people I'm friends with, but, you know, through the years you hear it's sort of a novelty that you have a gay best friend, and especially for Max, he kind of went along with whatever she was kind of doing, like moving to New York and all this stuff. So yeah, I really wanted to have him kind of come out from under that character in a way, and not necessarily like look at him as a doormat. It's just sort of like what he grew up with. And they're also, it's also about friendship. You know, you kind of, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you have to sort of redefine your friendship. And if you, especially if you've known each other since you're 5 years old, you're constantly sort of evolving the friendship. So I wanted him to really kind of shed that old Max and come out as the star in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, you know, going back to these stereotypes, right? Like, I mean, even when Paige asked him to be her man of honor, he's kind of like, you know, I don't know anything about weddings,
yeah. right?
I'm not going to be the person who's going to be all fabulous going to the bridal shop with you, right? And he does really kind of play against those stereotypes of, again, I think in particular, you're right, like in rom-coms, you know, all of that, what that gay character seems to always be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And historically, again, it's like with Will and Grace and things like that, it's sort of like mm-hmm. you have Will and you have Jack and there's nothing sort of in between. So I kind of wanted to have a little more of a nuanced character where you're really seeing like he's sort of not a professional gay and he doesn't understand fashion and he doesn't love Britney Spears and he listens yeah. to morose, you know, 90s The Smiths or the 80s music and he goes again, you know, he doesn't go to the gym all the time. And I know these are horrible stereotypes that don't fit every kind of gay person, but that's exactly why I wanted to do it, just to have that sort of more nuanced gay character.
Yeah. So how much of this book drew on your own experiences of dating and living in New York City?
A little of it. I did my research, quote unquote, growing up. Like, you know, I'm from the suburbs of Chicago, like Max. So there's a similar trajectory of moving to New York early on, not with a best friend. So it kind of stops there. And mm-hmm. but, you know, it's, I think like any writer, we kind of put ourselves in the characters and people, you know, I've met along the way, people I'm friends with, people you hear about. So it's sort of a patchwork of all of those things. It's not necessarily me. And there was nothing more joyous like writing this when Max would make a bad decision and I would think, oh, thank God I would never do that. And like the character's kind of taking off, you know, and sort of living his own life. So it's not exactly me. But then, you know, Paige, the best friend, and Chasen, the love interest, have parts of me too. Like I love the Smiths, but I also love Taylor Swift. So
yeah,
there's a, you know, a friend of mine quoted the other day, method writing, which I kind of think is very true, where it's like, it's almost like being an actor where I'm using the same emotions that I've experienced, but I'm putting it into a fictional character who's going through a fictional, you know, story or scene or whatever it is. But those same emotions that hopefully everyone can relate to, whether it's love or awkwardness or laughing or, you know, the tragedy of his job, you know, those are the real emotions that I've experienced, but not necessarily in that order of Max.
Yeah. Okay. One last question before I let you go. Are all the restaurants in New York City in your book real? Because I have not been to New York in a few years, and all I want to do now is just go eat my way through the city.
Yes, definitely they are real. And I, you know, it was pandemic writing. I was writing this in the peak of lockdown, and I really wanted to go to my favorite Italian place. And so I wrote it in there, and I really wanted to go to Fire Island. So I'm like, I'm going to spend two chapters in Fire Island. And, you know, we couldn't go anywhere. So it was really, you know, just sort of fantasizing. And if you've been to New York, you can kind of have fun with the name checks. And if you haven't, I think it's like what you're saying. It's you either want to go there or you aspire to it, or it's something, you know, if you live outside of Cleveland, then you can kind of recognize the same Italian joint that you go to and relate it to your own life. So hopefully it works for anyone who's been here and who hasn't.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us. I loved this book so much. So really appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. Your mother knows. It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to The Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR network.